Leite, again, remind ourselves that our life on this earth is only a short distance, is a time. And our theme this evening, in the few words that I will speak, is in time. Time is that which controls the movement of our lives in this earth. You go to the doctor, he'll give you a time to come back. You go out for a bus, you go out at a certain time. Our movements are continual time. Now, dear friend, time does not belong to us. It's set by God. And God himself, he kept the time of the entry of his son into this world. Craig mentioned it in his prayers this morning. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, it says, there is a time and a season for everything, everything under the heavens. Time belongs to God, dear friend. And it is said in Galatians 4 and chapter 4, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son. He didn't come too early. He didn't come too late. When the fullness of the time. And God expects us to keep a time. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law. And you and I, dear friend, are under the law. Each and every one of us has failed God in the lives that we have led, because we're all sinners in his sight. We thank thee that for that time, when he did send his son into the world, born of a woman, here was one who was different from all others, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, God's only begotten Son, who grew up in this scene of time. God, the creator of all things, could look down on earth and see how sin had ravaged his great works. God in creation could look on the earth and was pleased with it and all that he had created. And he rested in the sixth day, the seventh day, from all his labours. But sin, after it entered in, had ravished this place that you and I, dear friend, we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. From a very young age, right through our lives, until we took the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, as our Saviour, in him and him alone is salvation, the gift of God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But here was one different from all. John chapter 1 verse 13 it says, born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, or the will of man, but of God. And his Son was the full Godhead. I and the Father are one. God, this was the one whom God was well pleased with. God manifest in flesh, leaving all the heights and the glory that he had with the Father to come to where we were. And here he was, different from all others, the only sinless person to walk this scene of time here below. And because of this, this was the one who was going to be given for an offering for your sins and for my sin. God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ himself, this life what he led when he was here, a life that brought joy to the Father in heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom is all my delight, in whom I am well pleased. And we thank God for the life which we have in Christ, one who turned no man away, one who came with the full power of God. All power is given unto me by the Father. God had all the faith and trust in his Son to lead a life which would draw sinners to himself. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repent. And my dear friend, thanks be to God that salvation was offered, and the wonderful works that he performed when he was here, that others could say, no man can do these miracles except God be with him. And here he was doing the will of the Father, showing the power that he had from the Father in raising people to the dead, from the dead, and giving them life. You and I, dear friend, dead in trespasses and sin, we are offered a life, an eternal life from God through his Son, the one who performed and brought pleasure to the Father, one who stooped so low, he made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a man. It was even said by those that denied him, no man can do the miracles except God be with him. Yes, there is a time, and God's, when the time was fulfilled, God sent his Son that you and I might be brought back to him. Because of our sins, there was a great gulf fixed, and you and I could do nothing about it. We were heading to a lost eternity until we took the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, one who withheld nothing from us. Here he was, the only one who was fit enough to be offered as a sacrifice. Yes, this was the one in whom all the delight of the Father was in. We thank thee for that wonderful life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ himself knew why he had come into this world. His entry was foretold by the prophets of old. His exit from this world was foretold. But Christ himself knew what lay before him. Not once did he shun from the responsibility that he was the Lamb of God which came to bear away the sins of the world. A lamb spotless and pure. And thanks be to God that he offered himself. Men tried to take his life from him, but his time had not yet come. And Gethsemane's garden, he could say, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, not my will, but thy will be done." He knew his hour was at hand, it was coming on, time was going on. Calvary was always in his mind. And it was there he shed his, the precious blood was shed, taken by wicked hands that crucified him. Those that marvelled at his miracles, those that he helped down and out, no matter how great a sinner they were all classed the same, were all sinners in his sight. But salvation is offered to each and every one who takes the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Saviour. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. A time and a season. And a time under the heavens, a time and a season for everything. A time to be born. You and I, dear friend, the first two verses in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 have no say. A time to be born. We who were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. God gave us that life. God gives life. And it's God that takes life. And thanks be unto God that his Son gave life, gave his life to sinners such as we. And we thank thee for him. The gift, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we thank thee for him. Now, a time to be born, a time to die. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. A time to be born and a time to die. Death has passed in each and every one of us. Because of our sin, death is universal. And you and I, dear friend, I'll die. And after death, the judgment. And the one who will judge us is the one who bore your sin and my sin in Calvary's cross. Jesus himself, the Lord himself. And his judgment will be true. There'll be no excuses accepted. He knows. And him alone is the one who will judge you. And in the manner in which you live your life, dear friend, will determine where your destination will lie. A time to be born, a time to die. In the manner in which you live your life, and if you are living a life without Christ as your Saviour, is hell in the lake of fire. All have sinned. The wages of sin is death, but the gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ, and it's offered to all this evening, everyone, up and down the length and breadth of this world of ours. His Son who bore the sins of the world in his own body on Calvary, whose precious blood was shed. And we thank thee, our God and Father, for those times which we have not control over, but God has control over our time. You and I have been appointed a certain time in this world here below. And you and I will never go over that time. God knows. You and I don't know. But God knows. A time to be born. Ye must be born again. A time to die. And as we said, the manner in which you live your life here below, there is coming a time when we will stand before God, a holy God, and give account for our lives. Yes, we've been allocated that time in this earth. God taketh away. God takes time. We've been allocated a time on the earth. God giveth. God taketh away. The manner in which we live our lives will determine our destination. And if you're living a life without Jesus Christ in it, without God in your life, then, dear friend, you're in troubled waters. You're heading to a lost eternity. Take stock of your life and see the position you're in. Psalm 90, verse 12. Yes, the hymn that we sung, life at best is very brief. Robert Burns could say of life, it's like a snowflake falling on a river, a moment white and gone forever. That's the brevity of time. And time waits for no man. God will fulfill the times. And in the times that he appointed, you and I, dear friend, you might be getting well on in years now. Psalm 90, verse 12. Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Take Christ as your Saviour, and you'll be surprised at the wisdom that will follow you for the rest of your days. And you might think that too young. No, all have sinned. All have sinned and need to be saved. And the only person that can do that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Apply our hearts to wisdom. And a wise man will take Christ as his Saviour. God will help a righteous man, but will never help a foolish man. Dear friend, I thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ and for this time which we have been in his presence this evening. And I'd just like to finish off with quoting about time, about life, that which we have not control over. You have God controls your life when you take Christ as your Saviour. But you and I haven't even the power to stop that clock for half a minute or a second. All time belongs to God. And your life, for you took Christ as your Saviour, it belongs to God, and it's God's way. And I'd just like now to finish off, if I've went over my time, I apologise. Man's life. Man's life is laid in the loom of time to a pattern he doesna see. While the weaver works and the shuttles fly toward the doom of eternity. Some shuttles are filled with silver threads, some with threads of gold, while often but the darker hue are all that they may hold. But the weaver watches with skillful eye each shuttle that flies to and fro, and sees the pattern is definitely wrought as the loom moves sure and slow. God surely plans the pattern, each thread the dark and fair. He only knows its beauty as it's placed in the web with care. He only knows its beauty as he guides the shutters that hold the thread so unattractive, as well as the threads of gold. And that pattern will be explained in a time to come. And we thank God for his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will explain all that pattern to us, the pattern of our life, the pattern of his life, was marked out by the Father, one who knew no sin, did no sin, and neither was there guile found in his mouth. Thanks for appreciation.
Well, when I heard this was a testimonial meeting, I thought, I've gave my testimony lately, so most of yous have heard it. In fact, I think all of yous have heard it. Probably if I'd done something, I would have told it probably less nervously, but apart from that, I'm not going to tell a testimony. I have a little message. If we could turn our Bibles to Revelation and chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 18. For I testify to everyone who hears the word of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, the book of Revelation is a very difficult book. Now, I'm not going to get into that, but if you want to hear good biblical preaching of the book of Revelation, I recommend you come here on a Tuesday night. So, verse 18. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of this prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. This is God's unchangeable word. We can't make it say what suits us. We can't change it. In verse 19, if anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. We can't take out either what offends us, what we don't like. What would offend us in this book is generally what points us to our sin. And we can't take that out of it. So this is God's word. But what is God's word? Well, if we go to John chapter 1 and verse 14 tells us what God's word is. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, the Word became flesh. So, if we continue reading, John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he whom I said, he whom comes after me, he who is preferred before me, he who was before me, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but the grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So, Jesus Christ is the flesh, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Well, that's good, because we're saved by grace. So what did Jesus come to do? Well, there's various places in scripture I could go, but with avoiding Bible aerobics, we'll stay in the same chapter and go to verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus came to take away the sin of the world. He came to take away my sin, your sin. He came to take away all of our sins. So, what is sin? Well, before I was saved, I would say sin's maybe temptation. That was quite bad for me. Sin's maybe temptation, it's maybe addiction, it's something you've done wrong, but it'll be okay. Well, it's not. It's not okay. It's not okay unless you put your faith in the Lord Jesus and you repent for that sin. So, if we go back to Revelation 22, now a wee heading above verse 20 on my translation I have, I am coming quickly. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Now, before verse 18, it's a warning. So, we have a warning, and I am coming quickly. So, are you ready to meet Jesus? Have you repented for your sins? Because if you haven't, you're not. And I don't say these things as self-righteous, because I'm a sinner. For all have sinned and came short of the glory of God. But if you put your faith in the Lord Jesus, you'll become sanctified. You'll be made holy. That's a gradual process, and it ends up in glorification. So what I would like you to take away from my message today is, read God's Word. If you have your Bible and you've not read it as much as you should now, a lot of us in here probably don't read God's Word as much as we should. Blow the dust off it and read God's Word, because it's an instruction manual for us. And I can say it's an instruction manual because John 1:1 tells us that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. So it's our Creator that's gave us this Word. So, what I suggest is, if you haven't put your faith in the Lord Jesus, I suggest you immerse yourself in our Creator's Word. I'll conclude at that. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that souls will be saved this afternoon with the messages from our brothers. We think of the messages going out online also, and we ask for a blessing upon that. We give thanks for the saving power of our Saviour, and we give thanks that we have a God who is not deaf and dumb, a God who listens and who acts. Amen.